Hello, everyone, and welcome to Griplock, Foundation Disc Golf's weekly podcast. I'm Hunter, joined by Trevor. No Connor today, just Trevor and I. We got a lot to talk about, so we're going to kick it off with a good question from our Foundation Nation Facebook group about dynamic discs this offseason. The Simon Lizotto MVP is official, and the deal info was leaked. Didn't find out that was a leak until this morning. A little Discraft Tour Series stuff that we got going on the side, a little Trevor's Trivia, some off-season player tracking, and then we'll talk through the new version of Debate Night, all coming at you. But if you want to be able to get access to everything we're about to talk about in your inbox every single week, check the link in our description down below to sign up for the Griplock newsletter. You'll get our show notes sent straight to you every week, so even if you miss an episode on audio or on YouTube, you don't actually miss
the
episode.
Cliff Notes.
Exactly. It keeps you up to date with everything going on in the disc golf world, so you know what you're talking about when you're hanging out with your friends. But let's get into this this question that was posed in the Foundation Nation group, and you know, to be honest with you, I hadn't really thought through it, but after reading it, they brought up some really good points. So okay. I want to kind of talk through this. This is from Ethan Watson. He said, "I would be very fascinated to hear Hunter and Trevor discuss this point on Griplock." Well, here you go, Ethan. There's a discussion every year about what companies won and lost the off-season quote-unquote drafts when it comes to players changing companies, new contracts, and whatnot. I always enjoy these discussions. I wanted to share my two cents on one specific company that I don't want to fly under the radar with other big announcements. I hope my information is correct. Forgive me if I'm misinformed. Is Dynamic Discs okay? Yes, they have Ricky, but they seem to bleed players and staff members pretty regularly. Bobby Brown left a couple years ago, and he was the head of social media and wore a few different hats for Dynamic. He talked about his mental health when he left, and I commend him for doing so. It's not easy to publicly announce. Bobby then took what felt like a full leave of absence from disc golf, but now he's back with Clash doing their social media. Not to mention Robert McCall left prior to that. Then Paige Shue is leaving, also is a big red flag. We all rose an eyebrow to Kona leaving Innova when she had deep ties to that company, and Paige did the same thing to one of Dynamic's biggest competitors, Discraft. She had some concerns that Dynamic just wasn't able to resolve, yet her dad has leadership roles of the company. Not that is automatic solve-all, but it is curious. They just lost Mason Ford and Valerie Mandahano to Mint-Disc and also Discraft, two more talented players leaving contracts early. Something just doesn't seem right. I do enjoy that the company, and it makes me sad to see them struggling to keep talent. What could be the reason? Is it the leadership? Is it the money? Is it the expectations of the players and employees? Or is it a way of business? Just something doesn't seem right, and some things are more valuable than money. On the other hand, if you have a family, Discraft's all about that. Anyways, my two cents. I'd love to hear others' options / thoughts. Super excited for Simon, by the way.
This is interesting. Dynamic Discs has historically had a reputation of like a really good, like family type atmosphere in that company, right? Like they always kept people around. But you're right. And when you lay out all the red flags, so to speak, you know, I didn't even think about the Bobby Brown situation.
And Robert McCall.
Robert McCall.
He was, if you look at each decision individually,
it doesn't, yeah.
They all have good reasons.
Right.
They
when left. You look at them all together, and then, cause like the Paige Shue one was a big red flag for me because her dad is in the company. So like, and here's the thing about Paige Shue. I understand that she is a world champion, but she's not a high value player at the moment. So the idea that just like, oh, Dynamic just couldn't match an offer, I don't really know if I buy that. You know, I would think they'd be able to offer more potentially. So I think when you look at, you're right, I'm glad you lay them all out like that, because when you look at all these red flags, you see some interesting patterns in Dynamic. And I feel like I've heard a lot of players' voice. Here's the thing. I heard a player like Val Mandahano voice how incredible Dynamic was to her, and then she leaves. So I don't want to speculate, you know, super negatively about Dynamic. I was a part of Team Dynamic at one point. Now, my interaction with them was not crazy in depth. I was just an ambassador for them. But everybody I dealt with was incredibly nice. The team manager was super nice. And I've also met some people within that company, like Danny Lindahl, who's been there for a long time, incredibly nice guy. So I don't know any of the super upper management guys. I've maybe talked to Emac a couple times. You know, he was nice to me. I haven't talked to like Rusko, but it's interesting because I see a company from the outside that looks to be like picture perfect, run really well. But then you see some things that happen like this, you know, that are like, maybe there's some things internally that aren't great. And then, like, they signed the Kona deal. Things maybe didn't work out as much as they thought they would with that next year. Does that create some problems? It's hard to know, like, the repercussions of, like, what's happening on the inside of that business. And I don't think there's anything there solid enough for me to be like, there is something going on in Dynamic. Like, there is a snake in the grass. But I had something to look at, and I like Dynamic as a company, so I really hope that there's nothing weird going on. And I don't think there's anything there to say that, because like you said, if you take each case individually, there's nothing too crazy that's happening. It's just kind of they've kind of had an interesting string of events. I don't know. I don't really see anything. I don't want to speculate. So what do you think?
Yeah, there's nothing, like you were saying, there's nothing that like you look at and you're like, there it is, there's the problem. Or like, there's not even like a timeline of like a mass exodus happening right now, alluding to like, oh, something must have happened this year.
Yeah.
But it is interesting when you like lay it all out. And I think part of it is like disc golf companies are under a bit of a microscope just because
Right. Everyone's
so invested in disc golf. Right. And like disc golf as a whole, sometimes like the players and stuff feel like a family. Like a lot of companies, for instance, I would be surprised if a listener could name, unless they knew them personally, Discraft social media manager. It was just that Bobby Cool Daddy Slick Breeze,
he had created
his persona.
And that's something,
and like, he was the face
that
of the
they
company.
Did well there. Like, that's something I always appreciate about Dynamic, is like they like gave people platforms.
Yeah. And I think that part of it though too is they've transitioned a little bit, where before Dynamic, I agree, was just like they were looked at as, that was like the family team. Eric Oakley talked about it all the time.
Yeah, because Oakley left too.
Yeah, Jordan Castro was there at one point, I believe.
It's been an interesting few years.
You had, like, back then, they didn't have any star power on their team.
Yeah.
But they were a big family, and that's why you had the Danny Lindahl when he got hired there. Anthony, which used to be Disc Golf Weekly on YouTube, if you're a OG in the disc golf world, he got hired there. Bobby Brown, Robert McCall. You had all these guys that, like, they were, like, the faces of Dynamic to a certain extent. And then as the teams shifted to be more of a normal disc golf team, where you have the powerhouse of Ricky, you have the powerhouse of Kona, you don't really hear the DD family thrown around a lot more. From the outside looking in,
if you're in their Facebook groups, man, it's a great bunch.
I don't think that there's anything going on, anything wrong. I think what it is it's a shift from marketing. From like, we're marketing the entire team. There's no one loud voice. There's no one loud focus, to like, everyone has a platform, to, okay, we have our focus now.
Yeah.
So it was just a shift in marketing, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of more so what's going on. Now, if you look at like individual deals, Paige Hsu leaving. Yeah, it's curious. I just looked up the staff page. Her dad is the president of Dynamic Discs. But
that's
sometimes
so
too,
bizarre, though.
Sometimes too, though, you want to get out of that family dynamic. Like sometimes
True.
Maybe she had an offer and she was like, I don't want this to be like, I don't want to feel like I'm only getting this because my dad's the president. Maybe that had something to do with it. Or maybe that they were just looking at and like, hey, you just play a different role for us. If someone's offering you elsewhere and you want a fresh start, you want something new, go do it. Chase your dreams. It could just be as simple and easy as that.
I think there's only one way to really get to the bottom of it, and that's me going to deep cover. And I'll change my identity for like a month. I'll apply. I'll get a job just in the warehouse. But I'll be that guy in the warehouse kind of hangs around. Like, you walk around the shelf of deputies, and I'm just kind of loitering there like, hey, man, what have you been hearing in the break room? Like,
yeah.
what's the talk?
You are in the break room.
Yeah. What's the talk around the water cooler? Like, I'm that guy. And then I come back onto the podcast and rip off the mustache, and here I am.
Show everyone.
I'm like, right. I know everything.
I'd love that happen. One other thing that came out with Dynamic Discs recently that I thought was pretty fascinating was they released their, like...
There's not many shows in the world that can hear such absurdity and brush it off like, yeah, might have to see if that happens. And then segue it. This guy's got the reins.
Well, no, ooh. I just, like, I mean, that's a,
yeah,
that's
was,
a normal thing.
It was, that's what I'm saying. It was ridiculous.
That's just a normal everyday occurrence.
Gosh.
Dynamic, though, was tweeting out, like, their top sellers. And let me pull this thing up.
What is with all these companies all of a sudden just getting a little frisky, just decide to tell us how much they sell?
Well, they didn't say how much they had sold, but they said which tour series.
I saw this, though.
Were our top sellers in 2022. Results are in. Here are the top three. Here's what's fascinating. Two of the top three are Kona Panis Tour Series discs.
Is that propaganda?
Kona Trespass, Kona Escape, and then Ricky's Fusion Orbit Felon.
Is that propaganda, though?
I don't know, because like, I was looking at this list and like, yeah, we sold a decent bit of Trespasses. We sold out of the Escapes.
I would.
We see, definitely sold the most Ricky Orbit felons, but
yeah, I don't know.
I more so what it made me go is like, is DD with the Kona deal down as bad as the disc golf world wants to make everyone think?
My thing is, last year, see, the problem is though, like right from the get go, she like, it was like 3 weeks into the season and everybody had kind of like written her off.
Yeah, she crumbled under pressure.
It's not like, it's not even like.
These discs came out like the trespass was late in the season,
yeah,
it came out.
So I don't know. I think they're going to, you know, we'll see if there's a trickle effect if she continues. But like, as much as the Kona thing is in the, like, is in the depths a little bit of like, man, she had a really disappointing season. The redemption arc is right there, right?
Yeah, no, it's
so
low hanging fruit.
If she comes out this year and is like balling out of control, the whole thing can be restored.
Do you think the Saki Bomb Slammer was in contention in this tour series?
It couldn't have been. It would have been the number one.
Sure,
I think it's own mold.
Okay,
it's own mold. So that's, I don't think, because it would have, it had, but that list is curious to me.
Now, I'm just saying, to be number three and number two,
yeah,
I'm looking at it.
The felons make sense to be number one, obviously.
Yeah.
And I don't think we moved a crazy amount of Ricky Raiders.
No.
We should. They are awesome.
Good sales pitch.
Somebody made a point to me that Falcor is like the Prodigy Raider.
It is, yeah.
Spot on.
Or it's kind of like a Rive.
Anyways. We'll get to that later. Anyways, I think that the Ricky, like, are people really just not buying harps? Oh, this is dynamic, though, because he has a harp in that same series, but it's technically not dynamic. Okay,
it's
so
not
that,
dynamic.
I'm trying to think, like, what other dynamic, like,
Chris
what,
Clemens,
what did
verdict.
Clemens have? The Verdict.
And those didn't really move.
Those melo-
Let me pull this.
What were the ice, the Lucid Ice? Who had the ice ones?
But a lot of people had Lucid Ice.
No, the Justices, the Just Ice.
The Macy Bella
Diaz, the Just Ice.
But those didn't really move that well.
Yes, I guess the list. I mean, I remember when those. Okay, so here's the thing about the Escapes. When they first came out, the Halo situation that they were doing, the Orbit. I think this was the first time we had seen it on a non-Ricky mold, potentially. And I remember us being like, wow, these look incredible.
I threw one.
So, yeah, like it was pretty inspiring. So, I mean, the list is probably accurate.
I definitely think the list is accurate. That's not really what I was.
The first thing I saw, I was like, propaganda.
I was surprised that two of the top three were Kona discs. I was like, hey, if this is true, which it is true, if that's the case, right, then
I don't know.
Maybe DD is
Kona,
making their money back.
Kona herself, like, replied to the comment. I was like, wow. I was like, this like, honestly shocked me. I was like,
Yeah, because I'm looking at this. We have Chris Clemens'
Maybe
Verdict.
Those royalty checks weren't lining up.
Chris Clemens' Verdict, Zach Melton Maverick.
I mean, they don't have, like, they have a lot of good molds, but I guess as far as star power is concerned, like, it makes sense.
It would be a question, too, of, like, what's considered a Ricky Tour Series disc? Because Ricky had Enforcers.
Oh, those things
he had
awesome.
Enforcers, Raiders. He also had a different felon that wasn't the Orbit felon.
The Glimmer ones.
Yeah. Mason Ford had a Tour Series disc. She outsold Valerie Mandahano, it seems, too. I don't know. I thought that was a curious point to at least bring up. That, you know what? Maybe the propaganda against Kona is a little bit stronger than it should be.
I think Kona this year is going to be. I really hope. Like, I don't ever want to see somebody in her situation where, like, she's just getting bogged down by that contract. Because, like, it's not her fault she was given that contract.
Yeah.
And that's a ton of pressure to play under. So I really hope she has a good year this year. I'm genuinely rooting for Kona Panis. So we'll just see what happens.
It'll be a curious year to watch for sure. The biggest news that broke, Simon Lazat to MVP is official. And with the announcement originally, there was no contract details leaked. So my initial
10 years thought, initially.
Yeah, I saw the 10 years. Initially I said he must have got less than $1 million a year. Ulti World then posts the contract details, 10 year, $10 million guaranteed. Well, it actually said seven figures a year guaranteed. So it
right.
could be more than $10 million guaranteed. I would assume it's
gotta be a million, yeah.
Six-figure signing bonus. We don't know what that is. And they alluded to a seven-figure buyout from Discmania. So MVP had to write Discmania a million-plus dollar check to get Simon out of
the uncapped bonuses, too.
And uncapped bonuses. And then in an interview video with MVP, Simon also announced that he is getting his own line of discs, which we all expected.
That's so
but
exciting.
It is official. He'll be getting his own.
That's going to be so cool.
Simon line, if you will.
Yes. Wow. It was just like, it was destined.
Yeah. Now, something that's been, we found out this morning, Nick and Matt Show, another podcast, posted a clip. The contract details apparently weren't supposed to get out.
Yeah, this is a very interesting thing because Ulti World, listen, everybody labels us the leaky leakers. We never leaked anything. Let's make that clear.
I just amplified what other people
leaked. Yeah, we only talked about things that were already being said on the internet and being juiced up by like Reddit. But when the contract deals went to Ulti World, obviously, Ulti World is typically, I don't know if they ever really do the leak situation. So,
well, it makes you wonder, like, is this the first time Ulti World leaks?
So
they leak it in such an official way.
Because I read it and I'm thinking, oh, wow, that's interesting. I was just thinking, huh, very interesting that MVP went this route.
I thought the same thing.
I guess maybe they just didn't want to flaunt and they just wanted to seem more like it was a press release rather than us like chucking it on the announcement video. I was like, okay, fine. You know, at least the details are public. Interesting. Then, as you mentioned, Simon says that they weren't supposed to be public.
Simon says, he on the podcast, Simon said, I can't even talk about the deal.
Yeah.
Like, after the contract's been leaked,
who
the heck, still can't talk about it.
So who the heck, well, okay, I can speculate. I'm going to speculate here and say that I guess the parties that would, who would know what the deal is and who would benefit potentially by knowing how much, like by the public knowing how much Simon was paid, Discmania. Because Discmania, they would know because they tried to match the offer. And also, if everybody knows Simon's getting paid this ridiculous amount and the more key information is that he was bought out, it looks like Discmania's hands were tied a little bit.
Well, surely Discmania had to enter a contract with MVP for the buyout. Surely there's an NDA in there.
Oh, I'm sure there's NDAs. And maybe
someone broke an NDA.
And I'd be curious. Yeah, I'd be curious to know if this...
Could this lead to the first disc golf lawsuit?
MVP v. Discmania? Take it to the Supreme
Court.
Well,
it would all be dependent on Ulti World leaking their source. Which, rule number one.
I'll testify. I don't have anything to offer, but I will testify.
Rule number one, you never reveal your source.
Never reveal your source.
Other thing Simon said in this interview was...
Can that happen, like, in the court of law? Like, doesn't this thing go to court, and can they have to, like...
Well, they wouldn't know who to sue. Unless they sued Ulti World.
Maybe.
That'd be the only thing, but Ulti World, like...
They have no responsibility.
They have no responsibility.
Dude, somebody's... Whoa.
Someone pulled a ballsy move telling Ulti World this.
Someone's in trouble.
Yeah, so because of the other thing that was like obviously the leaks where they were coming from, there's three obvious holes in the disc golf world. Sir Chris Clemens, Sir Jordan Castro, and Sir Drew Gibson.
Yeah.
And Simon kind of addressed all three and he didn't seem too happy with any of them. Because like that's where I was getting information was I was watching Chris Clemens post on Reddit and respond to people on Twitter.
That was so fascinating to me. Like,
and I was just like basically amplifying what he was saying. And then Jordan Castro was also alluding to stuff. And I was like, okay, well, there's that. I can amplify that. And then the day before Simon's announcement happened, you have Drew Gibson tweeting, Simon Lazat announcement tomorrow. And we find out that Drew got that directly from texting Simon. Like, the balls on this man to sit there, text with Simon, be like, oh, so what's going down? And Simon, like, says something about, like, the announcement's coming tomorrow, blah, blah, blah. And apparently Drew texted him back and said, ha, 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 I'm going to tweet this. A bunch of, like, crying, laughing emojis. And then he pulled it. He tweeted it.
I'm telling you, you know how people do disc golf with information is so funny. You know how people do the like fake viral images, like the Justin Bieber eating the burrito sideways. How we have to try and do this next off season, like leak. We have to like try and like incept people into thinking they saw information they weren't supposed to see, like maybe a picture of a Brody out on the course wearing an Innova jacket, or and we got to start like creating organic. Like, how many fake accounts can we make on r/disc golf and just start spewing nonsense just to make a firestorm? Because people will start, like, if they see that crap, they'll start saying it like it's fact.
I don't even think we have to do that,
dude. I'm gonna do it.
I think it's easier than that.
Be warned, if you see any accounts that have any usernames that sound like something I'd make up, just ignore them.
I think it'd be easier than that. I think we could just fool a pro or two that's like not tied in enough, not tied in enough to be able to verify the information from someone.
Right.
But they feel like they should be.
I just want to pump the offseason so full
of nonsense.
It's going to
take. That's what it's going to take for all this to get fixed. Because
people have to start being more skeptical. You're right.
Yeah.
Because like right now, like there's guys on Reddit talking about like, I'll bet my house that this Simon MVP deal is going down.
There's two things I think have to happen. Because right now, leaks in disc golf, we are obviously, I am team leak.
Yeah.
But I'm team controlled the correct leak. I'm team like...
We are the guys that only leak. We are only going to leak things if they are public information or if we are told explicitly we're allowed to.
So that's what the problem was last year, right? Yeah. That's what got us this leaky leakers, whatever, TMZ disc golf thing. I don't think a lot of people realize this. I don't know if I've ever said this. I'm not going to put the person on blast who did this to me, but I was told from a touring professional disc golfer via text every detail of the Ricky deal last year, right? And then it was before people start speculating, it wasn't Brody Smith, it wasn't Paul McBeth. Because those are the two obvious ones, people, not them. And then I'd already been told this from, first off, to show kind of how everyone within the small disc golf world, like the Pro Tour, knows all this information. I'd already been told this information from three or four other touring pros. Yeah. I was getting DMs from them telling me the Ricky stuff, and I wasn't leaking
people
it.
That have... Like, did no need to know.
Yeah, because I was like, this isn't my information to leak. The icing on the cake that pushed me over the edge was one of them texted me and literally told me, then leak it. Go ahead, leak it.
Yeah.
To where I was like, oh, I hadn't even thought about that.
Well, also,
I'll do it.
Also, the second it hits us, and Hunter and I are always like, we are never, ever going to leak something if somebody says, don't do it. Like, we're never going to do that. We never have. But we also, if we wanted to, we could, because we have no responsibility to keep a secret that we have no business knowing.
Yeah.
Because it's told to us by somebody who also had no business.
Because that was my thing, is like, that happened, and then obviously it pissed off Rick.
Yeah.
Which, if I was in Ricky's shoes, I probably would have been pissed off at me too.
Yeah.
And so after all of it went down, I was like, you know what? This is silly of me. I'm done leaking unless I get it straight from the source telling me this is part of our marketing plan.
Yeah.
Which happened with you some this offseason. We won't say which with what. Yeah. But straight from a source, this is part of our marketing plan.
Or if it's public info.
To where anybody can see it. So what I did this offseason, there are some things that I tweet about and that I talk about on this podcast that I know way more than I allude to. So if you're ever wondering, how is Hunter always right? Because sometimes I'm talking about...
a sneaky sneaker is what he is.
I try to make sure that half the time I talk about, I know what I'm talking about, and the other half the time I don't, so you can never figure out what I know and what I don't know. that way, sometimes I sound like an idiot and sometimes I sound like a genius. But like... what I was doing is, once you know information, then you knew what to amplify, because people were putting information out in public.
Right.
So it was pretty easy for me just to go on Reddit, see Chris Clemens and people like hinting at this deal. And I was just like, hey, is anyone seeing what Chris Clemens just tweeted on Reddit? Right. Like,
and
that's pretty obvious.
Yeah.
And then like the one that put me over there, because the Simon deal, let's make this clear. I didn't know anything about the Simon deal at all.
Yeah.
Once Simon to MVP, it was basically confirmed to me before it went live. But when Simon announced he was leaving Discmania, that was my moment of like, oh, this is actually going to happen. Right. I was just in the rumor mill.
Right.
I knew what the public knew. And I was literally just going on Reddit or going on Twitter, reading what these pros were posting and being like, bro, this is like right in front of everyone's face. I'm just going
to
tweet it.
Yeah. You have to know. You also have to know that. So if pros want to keep these deals under wraps, they have to keep tighter. They have to keep really tight circles, because Hunter and I are reasonably plugged into disc golf, sure. But unless it's coming from Brody, who we obviously are really close to, if we know about a deal, it means that so many other people that don't need to know about it already know about it.
Yeah.
So like we are well on the edge of that thing. It's not like we're getting personal calls from pros being like, just wanted to be the first one to tell you. There are so many people that already know. So, like, it's not like we're being fed some, like, exclusive stream of information. It's such a tricky line. And because like I said, I am a fan of leaks being controlled when they happen, but I also have no responsibility to keep secrets when I'm not explicitly told to do so, and I'm a media person.
Well, because that's the other thing is like,
I don't have ties to these companies. I don't need to be protecting these manufacturers if they can't keep their secrets.
Yeah.
Because they can. If you are Simon and MVP, for example, and I'm not going to be throwing around blame, like these things happen. It could happen to anybody. But if you are Simon and MVP, unless Simon, the only people that can be blamed, if you keep the room small enough, there should only be a really short list of people that you can blame for it. And that's Simon and the head of MVB should be on that list. And then maybe a couple other people. And so you shouldn't, if there's a leak that happens, the list should be really short of, okay, this had to start with somebody. Because you can't blame people that are a mile down the stream and it's already passed through an entire family tree of people. You have to start with, okay, the leak could have only started with these people. They are the ones that need to be to blame if there's anybody to be to blame.
Well, I think it sounds like silly.
Whoever releases it down here, that's like, not their fault.
Let's think of this scenario, right? Let's say that Foundation was about to sign someone big. Let's just say Simon. We'll say Simon Lizotte. We're going to buy him out of his MVP contract. He's coming to Foundation next year.
Yeah.
You want to keep that under wraps.
Yeah.
So I'll sit down with Simon. He signs an NDA. I signed an NDA. You know, it's not leaving this room, right? But we got to get all the media stuff ready to roll. Mm-hmm. I think right now what happens is, like, Simon and I are on this understanding, and Simon was very careful. He sounded like he didn't even throw diss in public.
Yeah,
he was very like, I'm not letting this thing leak, from what it seemed like. So we are on that page, right? Well, then we need to get it in, like, Nolan in the warehouse. He's not on that page with me.
Right.
Right?
That's what happens.
And so, like, I think what ends up happening is, like, okay, we want to get the shot of Simon now walking around the Foundation warehouse. Mm-hmm. So we bring Simon into the Foundation warehouse. We get some media content. The whole media team's there. Everyone's excited. And we're like, hey, just so you guys know, don't tell anyone. And then, like, okay, but, like, Nolan will go home, and, like, let's say Nolan tells his brother.
Right.
And it's like, dude, you won't believe it. Like, Simon was there today, like, blah, blah, blah. Don't tell anyone, though. And then his brother's like, okay, but, like, I have a best friend who's, like, going to freak out over this information. Let me tell him real quick.
Exactly.
Tells him. Eventually.
They stick to their small circles, but if you keep adding the circles, they become.
Eventually, you get to someone who's like, no way, this is crazy. Reddit. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Or eventually, you get to, like, a team member, and the team member. Like, that's the crazy one to me, is Chris Clemens has no tie to MVP.
Yeah.
So, like, there's nothing keeping Chris Clemens this information, but Chris Clemens is very close to Jordan Castro. Jordan Castro is on team MVP. It's not a big leap to think that Jordan Castro got this information, told Chris Clemens. Chris Clemens is like, frick, like I got nothing to lose here. Like, if I'm MVP and one of my team members is directly tied to this leak and tweeting it some,
you gotta investigate.
They're either getting fined or they're getting booted off the team.
Yeah, I'd be curious to know if MVP is, like, doing any investigation to see where it started.
I'll tell you where my suspicion started was the Chris Clemens comment on Reddit saying one of the big boys is moving, and then there was, like, two or three accounts that were just swearing up a tree and down another that Simon was going to MVP.
Yeah.
I posted the Chris Clemens thing on Twitter, a screenshot of that. Another person responded and said, I won't say what, but Simon's guaranteed going to a Michigan company.
People from.
So then I quote tweeted that and said, I've heard this Simon MVP rumor. Anyone else? And then someone else tweeted the whole puzzle piece thing of AB, Page Shoe, AB, Infinite, Page Shoe, Discraft, and Simon Lizotte, and all the pieces were there. And then Chris Clemens responded and said, you've got the pieces, all the pieces are there, but they don't all match up. Basically saying, like, hey, all those players are moving, and Discraft and Infinite MVP are on the table. So now I'm like, okay, well, obviously Simon MVP then.
Yeah, it was made too easy. And it's just like finding the source. And I agree, like, when you have an organization and you have MVP has a lot of employees, it's really hard. It's a difficult situation because you don't want to, like, just leave people in your organization in the dark, but you have to also know that it's going to be really hard to keep something like that under wraps. And then you have to make sure, like, if you sign NDAs and, like, if Discmania is under an NDA, like, you got to try and keep that, like, enforced.
Yeah. Well,
it's so hard.
It is near impossible.
Hard.
I think that's why leaks exist in sports world.
Yeah.
It's because it's easier.
No, it's impossible.
It's easier if MVP's like, hey, we need to get Simon here to do media. Let's get ahead of this thing. Let's choose an outlet to leak this potential deal through.
Right.
To get ahead of it. That way Simon comes here and, like, now MVP knows where the rumor came from because they started it.
Yeah.
And they can control what information
easier
got out.
To control the narrative.
Yeah. And then, because they could have leaked as simple as sources are telling me Simon Lizotte is in talks with MVP about a potential buyout with Discmania. Well, now when you see Simon at MVP it's like, oh my word, he actually is in talks.
Right.
When the deal's already done and they're getting media right now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But now there's no, like, we got to be all sneaky because Simon's coming to Michigan and, like, what if someone gets recognized at the air? What if someone recognizes him? What if, like, whatever happens? It allows you to be a little bit more free with it if you choose strategically use leak as part of it. Versus right now, it's like, I mean, it seems that someone who wasn't supposed to know knew the 10-year, $10 million. I mean, they knew every detail of this deal.
That's
someone who's not supposed to know. They're lucky that information wasn't out weeks ago.
Yeah, if it's me and I'm a company, I am basically doing this two ways. And most of the time, I'm going to just get ahead of it, and I'm going to either just anticipate the leak, like this is probably going to leak at some point. Here's our plan for when it starts happening. This is what we're going to do. Or I'm going to just do it myself or give it to somebody to do so that I can control exactly the timing. Or option number two is I'm the owner of this company and I'm getting that player and whoever I need to talk to from the other company in a room and it's just us and we are keeping this between literally like less than five people. Like,
yeah, we're doing the marketing at a different location.
And like the media, like we'll keep it, I'll film it on my phone if I have to. Like you have to just keep it so small. And I think that option just is a bit extreme and almost impossible. I think that it's a big culture shift for disc golf companies because I understand there's like, they feel like they put all this money into something. They definitely feel like they should have the rights to be the ones to release it on their own. And yes, technically you're right. You should have the rights. The problem is there's a lot of humans involved. And so the information is more than likely going to get out. And so you have to be ready to deal with that. And here's the thing. At the end of the day, with the whole MVP situation, I don't think that the leaks have hurt anything.
No.
I wouldn't say that like, oh, they were just like the biggest help. I think either way there was a punch. But I think we were talking about MVP and Simon for a lot longer than we would have been leading up to this deal. And I think it was just as exciting. And I think that MVP and Simon are positioned for massive success. So I think it's still a huge win. I think the contract details getting out the way they did.
Fascinating.
Very fascinating. That's the one that like the rest of it was kind of like whatever, typical. This one's a bit different. This one's a bit new, I'll say. I'm curious to know how that came about.
Yeah, it's definitely, I just assumed it was part of MVP's plan, but 10-year, $10 million, great for Simon.
It's pretty awesome.
I think MVP,
it's cool to have another disc golf millionaire.
MVP, I think, is going to make this money back, no problem. It does raise an interesting question for Discmania of trying to keep the other Crush Boy.
Yeah,
I mean, Eagle McMahon, let me double check Eagle's contract, but
I believe it's up after this year. You have to think that if there was that much of a buyout in Simon's deal, then there's also a big buyout in Eagle's deal.
But it seems that the buyout doesn't matter.
But it also is what it seems. It's the right company. But so MVP, so what you have now though on the market is you have, if you think about the roster spots, because I wasn't even considering MVP to be one of the big money players that was left on the table to offer big money. Because you have Discraft has Paul on that huge deal, Paige on a really good deal, and they've signed a lot of players. They've got to be, you know, their cap room, they had to drop some elite team guys down to lower teams because I think that they're probably around their max right now. I don't see them offering a humongous contract to somebody. MVP at this point now, I think they've kind of probably tied themselves up financially for now. You know, you think about the big players that are left. You know, Prodigy's got their hands full. But it's like Latitude, maybe.
Prodigy, though, still hasn't offered someone the bag.
Which is why I think their hands are full.
I was saying, well,
they got to worry about the guys they still have.
Yes, I agree with that statement. But flip side of that coin, if you bring Eagle in, how much do you have to worry about the guys you still have?
Yeah.
Who's worth more, Eagle or Cannon?
Right.
That's a tough question to answer. That's a very tough question to answer.
That's almost impossible to answer.
But Prodigy might be thinking, Prodigy doesn't have that type of money. What are you talking about? Prodigy Europe, huge. Power Grip Europe, the number one retailer in Europe, just released their numbers. Prodigy's on top of it again.
I believe Prodigy has more money than people think, but I also see them dropping players.
Latitude 64 is the real big dog on the table.
I think Latitude is the one that is going to shock people with a deal eventually, because they, from the business side, when you look at them from a business and all the people they're manufacturing for it, and MVP, I think this is why we underestimated MVP, is like, look what they're doing with ThoughtSpace and Mint. You know, they're making more than just MVP discs, which have had a really good year. But yeah, Latitude, you know, taking on Castoplast and doing what they're doing, there I think is still a giant on the table. But yeah, it's cool having another millionaire in disc golf, because you got to think, right now we've got Ricky, Paul, and Simon now, and you got to think
Paige Pierce has said on record, I believe, that she's a millionaire.
I think
or
she
that she's
could
at least
be.
Getting close.
She
maybe could be. Maybe Nate Perkins called her one.
And I would think that Eagle is going to be a millionaire soon, by the standards
he's
we're
going to be soon if he's not.
And yeah. Then I would say that Gannon potentially down the road could be. So we could, I mean, the amount of millionaires in disc golf, it's crazy. It's crazy.
It's a lot more money in disc golf than people think.
Yeah. The disparity between those millionaires, though, and the guys that are only 40 spots beneath them, realistically only 20 spots beneath them, can be insane.
Yeah.
It's like,
well, wow. It just shows there's
money and marketability, you know?
There's so few people that can move the amount of discs that a Simon Lazat or a Paul Macbeth can move.
Yeah, Simon.
I'm gonna be completely honest with you. Simon and Paul, the $1 million a year deal makes sense to me. Ricky still doesn't.
Yeah, I think Simon and Paul are the two best.
They're the whales.
They are the two best disc movers on the market, and I don't think it's close.
I don't either.
And these are coming. This is coming from us who we work at retail, and obviously our audience is not the same. Our customer base does not shop the same as everybody, so we don't get the full picture. And of course, Ricky moves discs.
Yes, but not to the volume.
But Simon and Paul are different.
Like Simon, I think we filmed the new Debate Night show this morning, and I used this in one of my points. I'll explain it here though, because I think it's a good point to have both times. We had a rather large MVP restock that we had placed, not knowing Simon was going there. It just showed up on the perfect day. It showed up the day Simon announced. This restock for us was supposed to last us, you know, close to like 60 to 90 days. Like, it was supposed to last a few months. Yeah. Minimum of MVP is a hot seller. It was probably like a close to a 30-day restock where you might have to order a few molds here and there. But it was a big restock. We wanted a full MVP restock going into the new year. We're going to have to probably place that same order later this week, mm-hmm. because in the first 3 days, that's just how much plastic Simon moved.
Yeah.
That didn't happen. We were birthed, born by the Paul to Discraft move.
Yeah.
So we didn't experience that. No other move in disc golf has affected our shelves anything like this. We haven't seen anything like this as a company.
It was nothing compared. Like, the Ricky move was nothing compared to this.
No, I'm trying to think of any other moves that have happened since.
This was insane.
The Kona move.
And Simon is a guy that, like, I think he's very, like, cut and dry when he talks about plastic, too. Like, you can tell he's honest about it, you know, when he's talking about his new MVP disc. So when he does get excited about a disc, you can't help but feel excited about it too. And also, like, as somebody who's thrown a bit of gyro and Hunterstone even more, like, it's cool to see that he thinks that some of the discs that we already knew were awesome, he's like validating that, like talking about the Hex. Like, we've been talking about the Hex for months.
Yeah.
About, you know, how incredible of a mid-range it is, and it's cool to see him align with
Disc
that.
Disc Mania had to be punching the air watching that in the bag.
I would hear
brutal,
him.
Brutal,
dude.
Hearing him, like, describe
this is
like,
basically
this
the perfect MD1.
Yeah, this,
MD1
this is what
dreams.
I want MD1 always to be like. And then he's like describing the Wrath as like a PD.
Yeah, this is my FD replacement, the Crave, and it's like, oh, man.
Yeah, I mean, there is somewhere in some conference room that UC Moresma was having a heart attack.
I'd be in a dark room watching that video with like Marvin's room turned all the way up, just like, oh man, got like a box of tissues. Like,
yeah.
That's a tough watch for Discmania.
I guess after the $1 million buyout, UC might be dapping it with
that's true.
Bills.
Hey,
but still,
let's not forget they made $1 million off of that buyout. That, I think we're gonna forget that too soon. You know, disc golf companies like Discmania are certainly multi-million-dollar operating budgets, but $1 million is still a lot of money to a company like Discmania. So let's not forget how big of a deal that is.
Realistically, that's probably what Simon was going to make him over the next 2 years.
Yeah, so like $1 million is nothing to scoff at. Like,
yeah.
It'll
be interesting to see what happens with it, what they do,
right,
where they end up, but it was something. All right. That was an awful time yawn. All right, before we get into Trevor's trivia, I want to take a moment to shout out something going down on our site right now. We're about to talk through some off-season player tracking, and there's a bunch of new elite team members coming to Discraft this upcoming year, and we're going to walk you through all of them. But to celebrate this, we've made the 2022 Discraft Tour Series discs all $5 off on our site. There's no discount code needed. You just head over to foundationdiscs.com and you can pick the exact swirl and stamp to get your hands on them while you still can before the 2023 Tour Series stuff rolls out. And there's some players whose name might not be on the same disc or might not be on a Tour Series disc at all this upcoming year. So this is probably your actual last shot at some 2022 Tour Series, all $5 off, foundationdisc.com. All right, time for the fan favorite segment, Trevor's Trivia, Trivia with Trevor.
Okay.
At least try. Travis does it better.
That's right. So I've got a cool Sporacle quiz here.
I love Sporacle.
This is...
Statmando's been doing a lot of work on Sporacle.
Yeah, I'm glad for it. So I've got a list here of the MPO highest earnings seasons of all time. And so we're going to see, the way we're going to do this is I have a list of like a ton of them going from the highest all the way down to seasons that are like, you know, in the 20,000s. But what we're going to do is I'm going to have you see how many you can name in the top 10 before you are wrong. So how, you are trying to name
top 10. Is can there be one player on there multiple times?
I want you to name there will be yes, there can be multiple, like you can name a Paul like, season and another Paul season.
Oh, I have to say the year.
Yeah,
too.
The year.
Oh boy. Okay. Because I mean probably 8 of the top 10 are freaking Paul.
So you have to I'll just tell you right now, that's not true.
I know it's not true.
So
that's
yeah,
what my gut told
go
me.
Go for it.
All right. Well, first off, we got 2022 Ricky Wysocki.
Okay, let me just type it in so I can get you to confirm. You said 2022?
Yes.
Yeah, so that is the highest, $105,776.
And number two, I think, has got to be 2022 Paul McBeth.
That is correct. $100,103.
Okay.
Two for two.
This is where things start going south. I'm just trying. I don't have to be in right order. Just anything in the top 10.
Anything in the top 10 would count.
2022 Gannon Burr's got to be on there, I would think.
Believe it is. Let's check. Gannon Burr 2022 comes in at the fourth highest at 86,973.
Okay. 2021 Paul McBeth.
That is the third highest, 90,403. You've got the top four. You're rolling here.
I'm saying 2021 Ricky Wysocki.
That is the fifth highest, 79,929. This is where it starts to get a little trickier.
2021 Eagle McMahon.
Let me look here.
No? They not play enough events?
58,565 puts him around, I'd say, like, it looks
like
the 15th spot.
I just thought he won a bunch in 2021. I knew 2022 he didn't tour. Same thing with Simon. 2022 Simon, I don't think would be up.
We got the top five. Let's see if I'll give you one more shot and see if you can get it.
Okay. Because like 2015, Paul was dominant, but like how much money did he make that year? Because like the money wasn't that big back then. Okay, what was 2020 like? There wasn't a full season in 2020, but I feel like they still earned a lot of money because of the Pro Tour finale. Who won Worlds in 2019? 2018, Paul McBeth 2019 season. Not on there?
57,273.
There's a lot in that 50,000 part. Is there anyone from 2020 on there now that I've missed two?
Nope.
So these are all 2021, 2022 people?
Nope.
What's some other seasons? Read them to me then.
So after where you're at, the next one on the list is 2017 Rick, 79,348.
Wow.
And 2015 Paul.
So 2015 Paul was
at 72,044.
I couldn't tell. I didn't know how much money 2015 Paul made because that was the most dominant.
It was unprecedented at that point. Now, Here's the thing. So from what I've typed in, the 9 spot is Paul in 2017, but the 8 and 10 spot are still blank, and they're both 2022 seasons. One at 69,000, one at 64,000. See if you can guess what they are.
They're both 2022 seasons?
Correct.
Chris Dickerson?
It's not Dickerson. Dickerson's season was at 54,000. He doesn't play enough events.
That's true. I just knew he was a major champion.
I actually have no idea who these are.
Who? I mean, could it be Simon?
I guess I know who. Yeah, I'm thinking it's probably going to be Simon.
He didn't play 64,447.
And I think that the last one should be, there's only one other player could be.
Calvin Heimberg?
Correct.
Yeah.
Calvin Heimberg at 69.
Fascinating. How many events did Simon play?
Simon took the bag. You win all those events. He had, what, five wins?
I knew he did, but I just was thinking
That's like almost 50 grand worth of wins.
Oh, he played more Pro Tour events than you would think. He played 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Like you see, his purses on those wins were big.
12, 13, 14, 15, 16. Okay. Simon played way more events than I thought. He played 17 events.
He took some pretty good purses as well.
He played 17 events. It is crazy on the Pro Tour majors.
It's crazy looking at that list and seeing like Ricky in 2017 made 72 grand and like him in 2021, another really good season, only made 79 grand. Like, that's how crazy dominant that 2017
Well, 2015, was. Paul making the top 10 is insane.
Yeah, 72 grand. I remember very specifically.
Let's look at 2015.
I remember very specifically looking at 2015 Paul and thinking that was the first year I was like, wow, he definitely made six figures. Like, with 72 grand in earnings, like, without his bonuses. Like, I was like, wow, he did.
So, Paul
really well
played 26 tournaments. Worst he finished, he had 1 third-place finish, and then he had... What is it? No, he had 2 third-place finishes and 1, 2, 3, 4 second-place finishes. Everything else he won. So basically, as good as a human can possibly play in a season. And what is the average there? $3,000
And this was also prior to there being a Pro Tour Championship where you can cash in an extra 10 to 20.
Yeah, the most Paul made at a tournament that year was $8,000 at USDGC.
That's insane.
That was it. That was the most.
That season.
He won $6,000 for winning Worlds. You know what we should do?
Show me his bank statement from that year.
You know what we should do? Well, but this was his third world title in a row. He got bank from Innova for the three in a row because I think Innova has like a multiplier system. Mm-hmm. You know what we should do, though, is take these events to their modern day.
Adjust them for their current purses.
Like what would be like USDGC, we can just boom, do same for Worlds. Glassblown Open, go to DDO. Aussie Open, you'd have to figure some Champions Cup. Because that was a major back then. European Open, you could do. Ledgestone, you could do. Memorial, you could do. And just see how much money this guy would have made.
Probably like 120, 130.
Because he won the National Tour Point Series, too. So you'd have to give him the Pro Tour Championship.
Yeah. If you give him...
Because that's the NT finale. No, he came in second. So you'd have to give him second at the Pro Tour Championship.
I bet he went like 120, 130.
They would be insane. It'd be more than that, I think.
PMF, man.
Because think of the... I mean, just look at like winning a Pro Tour this year was giving you almost five figures every time.
Yeah, almost 10.
Worlds was $20,000 this year. He won six for it back then. There's $14,000 there. He's almost at 100 already, with just one tournament.
Yeah.
USDGC, we're going to have to do that. Because USDGC winner was $25,000. He only won eight.
Yeah.
Just USDGC and Worlds, he's already at 100,000 that year.
Yeah.
He would have probably won close to $200,000 in 2015.
It would have been,
maybe more. That's wild.
That's crazy. What a season.
All right, this week has been a busy week in offseason announcements. Sticking with MVP, I think a big one that got overshadowed quite a bit was James Conrad signed a 4-year extension. James Conrad isn't getting enough credit. Without James Conrad, MVP never signed Simon Lazat.
Probably right. He established legitimacy for the brand.
He made the brand enough money to sign Simon.
And also did that.
Because, James Conrad was not a plastic mover. He was not a big time needle moving player.
Very likable guy, but he wasn't like a.
But him with MVP started moving.
MVP had a really nice year.
It took a lot of question marks. Like a lot of people, I think, just judged MVP as a rec brand. No serious player throws it. And then when 2021 happens and you have someone win a world title, then they removed that stigma to a lot of people. James Conrad walked so that Simon Lazat could run.
There you go.
4-year extension with MVP. I think that was a pretty big deal.
That is a long extension, too.
We saw Mason Ford sign with Mint Discs. I believe this is Mint's first real pro. They have Des Redding, but do they have an MPO player?
Yeah, I don't know. It's certainly the most high-profile signing, I believe.
Yeah. So it'd be cool to see, some Mint Discs out there. I don't know if he's playing mixed bag or not. Austin Hannum and Austin Turner have both announced they're going to DGA.
Austin Squared.
A Squared, baby. Paige Hsu, we talked about this a little bit earlier, now on Team Discraft. I think she's going to be a player to watch this upcoming year.
Yes, she will be interesting because obviously former world champion.
I'm pretty sure she just won her first tournament.
Oh, did she? Former world champion obviously was giving her attention to motherhood. So now that she's kind of putting it back towards tour a little bit, she will be interesting to watch. And things have changed a bit since she last won. You know, there's a lot more competition. Courses are a bit different.
Yeah. She won by 3 this past weekend. No one was there, though. So we don't really know anything.
What did she rate, at least?
Ratings don't mean anything, dude. She averaged like 940.
That's pretty good, though.
Yeah. Isaac Robinson lost this event to Jacob Chesser.
Dang.
Something to think about there.
Who the heck is that?
On it was Ezra Robinson in the field. Different question. Don't see him. Paige Shue Discraft, also Team Discraft, their elite team's been announced with some new faces. We have, these are new members to the elite team. I don't believe I missed anyone. We have Valerie Mandahano, new to Discraft, Anthony Barella, new to Discraft, Holland Hanley, new to Discraft, and then Brody Smith and Corey Ellis, new to the Discraft elite team.
Yeah, big additions, good extensions with the elite team situation. I think the most interesting thing about this was the fact that they announced everybody at once.
Yeah, it was weird because it kind of took the punch away from AB and Val.
Yeah.
Holland Handley was a big signing for Discraft, but Valerie Mandahano and Anthony Barella were like two of the whales on the market.
I understand their idea. So I understand their vision was like, let's just go for the extra gut punch, and people are just gonna be blown away by how many people's names show up in this video. But I think what happens is you already have so much star power in your Paige Pierce, your Pollingbeth, your Brody Smith, that they still command that video, and you're focused too much on them and Dickerson, can't forget about him, to where like you're just kind of like, oh, there's AB, like, oh, there's a, like, I think you should have just had it, you should have just done a separate video to announce, even if you're going to just throw your new additions into one video. That's one thing. Personally, I think that these players deserve their own announcement.
But I would have had like
at least an Instagram picture.
Yeah.
Like, hey, we signed Anthony Barella. But at the very least, just like do a video that's more specific to your new signings and then do your like, look at how stacked our elite team. Because it kind of blurred the lines. I think the players, you know, the players being taken care of, I'm sure they, you know, at the end of the day, they probably don't care that much. But I think it was just weird as a fan to have it done that way. And maybe it didn't come across, at least to me, the way they intended. But, I mean, it still does get the point across. Or at the end of that video, I'm like, dang, man, what an elite team they've got. But it's not a team sport. So, like, that's where it gets weird. It's like, yes, this is awesome for Discraft, but it's not a team sport. So, like...
Because, I mean, at the end of the day...
Why it looked like they were announcing the starting lineup for the Golden State Warriors. Like, instead, how about we just give the spotlight to each individual player? It's weird.
Yeah.
Starting lineup, sick, though.
It's... Because I was trying to find this Stat Mando tweet, because they did like who won the off season.
We need to do like,
let me see if I can.
Like,
find
what
this
would
thing.
Be the starting five of Team Discraft?
What manufacturer had the best off season? And Discraft tops the list because they did
points.
2022 point player of the year points for top 25 MPO and FPO, and Discraft gained 9,434 points, up 25%. Innova lost 18%, but is no other team is close to Innova or Discraft. But let's keep in mind here that like this doesn't really mean anything.
No.
Because Simon Lizotte moves more plastic than every player that was just added to the Discraft elite team.
Yeah.
Now Discraft, like Brody Smith moving up with the Tour Series disc now, that'll really push some stuff.
Yeah.
Corey Ellis, I'll be curious to see what Tour Series disc he gets. He'll be able to move some stuff. Interesting that Valerie Mandahano kicked Alexis Mandahano. I know that's not exactly how it worked, but that's how I like to script it.
No, that's got to be the talk at the dinner table.
Yeah, like Alexis Mandahano is no longer on the elite team. Like, Valerie is.
What would really be fascinating
is if Val takes a scorch.
Yeah. Like, who's the guy, like, did Bob Giulio have to sit down with Alexis and be like, hey, didn't quite cut it this year. Your sister is better than you. We're gonna move.
What I'm imagining is that Discraft must have like an actual like metric.
They supposedly do. I think
that makes more sense then, because then
it would make it easier to break the news.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, hey,
didn't meet the standards.
Your season just didn't match what our standard
problem.
For elite team.
Yeah, the problem was I feel like we've seen that maybe not. Anyways, I don't know. I if I were a company, that's how I would. It's tricky, isn't it?
Because I wouldn't have a public front facing top team, middle team, low team.
Yeah, I don't think I would either.
Like, it's weird.
It is weird for the public to know that. Yeah, it is weird.
Like, I would just make Tour Series this for who I want to make.
I always thought the team thing was kind of odd. Even from when I first got into disc golf and Innova had, like, their star team, their champ team, I always found it kind of interesting. I understand, like, internally, it makes sense to have those tiers, but to have it, like, a public thing, it is.
Well, because even, like, Calvin, like, Innova always had, like, their, I think it's their star team
Star Team is their highest team.
You had to like win a major to be on it, basically.
Yeah.
And more or less. But then with Calvin, or at least to get on a stock disc, you had to win a major. Used to be you had to be a world title champion. Then they made an exception with Nate Sexton on the X-Cal with the USDGC. Colin's on a stock disc?
He's on the X3, maybe our X3.
Also USDGC champion. Mm-hmm. But then they made another exception with Calvin Heimberg on the stock Toro.
Yeah.
And just says,
I mean, they flat out made the Toro for him, too.
Yeah. So, like, you see Innova starting to be like, hey, we can't really do this because, like, yeah, Calvin's our guy right now. And just because he hasn't won a major doesn't mean anything.
He's due.
He is due. But, like, you got to still be able to, you know, make the money make sense.
Right.
So, it is interesting, though, to, like, have it because pretty much every team has this. Like, Prodigy has their core team they just announced. Like, everyone has this model. It's because everyone's copying Innova in a roundabout way, but everyone has this model. It's been around forever. It doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
Because, like, to me, like, if I'm Alexis Mandahano, right, we'll use her because we just talked about it, and I'm not on the Elite team this year, I'm not getting a Tour Series disc. But if I'm Discraft and Alexis Mandahano goes out and starts popping off at some events, like, I would like the flexibility to be able to give her a Tour Series disc, like, midway into the season.
Do it anyway.
Which, sure, you could, but then, like, the rest of the Elite team might question and be like, what the heck, because of how the structure is. And, like, other companies, like Dynamic, we see them give, like, Kona Panis has, like, 3 or 4 Tour Series discs. Same with Ricky.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
Some companies, like, I think it's just the way they've been doing it, and they kind of just get, like, stuck.
Because you're telling me if you gave Paul, Paige, Brody, Chris Dickerson, like, 4 Tour Series discs each, that they're not moving way more?
Yeah, I mean,
I guess the problem is if you put Paul, Chris, Corey Ellis, and AB all on Tour Series buzz, then you're probably, like, it probably hurts the buzz sales.
Yeah.
I guess that's probably what they're thinking of. But, all right, well, there you have it. I believe we've covered everything. A little bit of a all-over-the-place show. A lot of questions out there have been answered this offseason, but new questions have come up that may or may not be answered, like, who is the leak that is letting all this stuff go to UltiWorld and stuff?
Here's the thing, low-key.
Fascinating.
Low-key, we're already mid-January. All-Star weekend sneaking up.
Yeah, we're only a few weekends away.
Only a few weeks more of Grip Locked away from having disc golf, and man, am I excited.
Yeah, very exciting. We also have the new preview show coming for the Las Vegas Challenge. You're not going to want to miss that. Speaking of new shows, we just filmed this morning the new version of Debate Night. It'll be coming out tomorrow. If you've ever seen Around the Horn, disc golf version of that, more or less, I think it's the best show on our network. I was a part of it this morning. I'm not always going to be on it. It was probably the most fun I've ever had doing a disc golf show. I think that y'all are going to absolutely love it. I think it's what a lot of you wanted Debate Night to be anyways. And I think it's going to be fantastic. So very excited for everyone to be able to see that product tomorrow and hear the feedback on how we can improve it and all that. But keep your eyes out. Tomorrow, Foundation Podcast YouTube channel, or if you want to listen to it on audio, it'll be on the Debate Night audio feed. You want to go subscribe to a new show or anything. Very excited. And, you know, maybe this week will surprise us with more off-season news. I feel like the off-season has a little bow put on it. I feel like everyone's announced and ready to go, but who knows? Maybe there's still people
You always have to think there's one company just, like, waiting to be last, potentially. I think we saw it with Ezra and Discraft a while back, where, like, it was, like, right before, I guess. So you never know.
You never know. There'll be definitely something to keep an eye on, but we'll be back same time, same place with some more news next week.